A very common question I get is, Katie, why can't I stop eating? My biggest struggle is the snacking in the afternoon. I just can't stop. If this sounds like you, please listen up. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm going to be going over seven potential reasons why you might have trouble with overeating. Okay. And this is also backed on a lot of research and a lot of experience. The number one thing why you can't stop eating, it's either lack of exercise or too much exercise. There was a huge meta-analysis of almost 3,000 studies that was just published July 2023. These findings suggest that physical exercise within a multidisciplinary clinical and psychotherapeutic approach may be an effective intervention for managing binge eating disorder symptoms. And this has a lot to do with the later effects after exercise when it comes to our hormones. If we're simply just sedentary, laying around, lazy, not going outside, not moving our bodies at all, it can lead to something known as leptin resistance, which I'm going over next. And just hormonally, you're not going to have clear hunger and fullness cues because you're just in this state of not at all really using your muscles or moving your body. And when we're not at all moving our body, of course, another side effect of this is possibly depression, just wanting to boost your feel-good hormones and do something with your body. And sometimes that looks like eating, right? Especially if we're in front of the computer all day, which I'm going to get into later when it comes to using food to cope. But thinking about binge eating disorder symptoms and lack of exercise, patients obtained significant improvements either following supervised exercise programs or home-based exercise prescriptions. According to lots of research, you don't have to go absolutely crazy going to the gym for 2 hours every single day to see the benefits of exercise, even just 2 minutes of walking. I like to do a wall sit, a 2 minute wall sit when I brush my teeth, this kind of thing. It could actually also help with your energy. If you're noticing that you're fatigued and that you're like eating to stay awake, instead of eating, could doing 30 jumping jacks, could going for a walk out in nature actually help with your energy? And potentially, maybe that's what you needed instead of food. However, on the flip side of this, if you're over-exercising and you're not eating enough, we think that we only need this much food and then we exercise a lot and you're noticing you're really hungry, or maybe you're trying to restrict yourself to a certain amount and you've been exercising a lot. Of course, your body's hungry and you're going to find yourself potentially noticing that you're overeating. And this is interesting because when it comes to over-exercising, are we over-exercising or are we under-recovering? And thinking of our body as a whole with lots of different things going on, from our relationships to our sleep to our hydration, there's a lot going on. Instead of focusing necessarily on too much exercise, I want to help people focus on recovering properly because our bodies, we're all athletes. We all have potential athletes in each and every one of us. And of course, if we're new to working out, if we are going from sedentary 0 to 100, yeah, we might be overtraining for sure. And I don't want people, it breaks my heart when people sell themselves short and they say, oh, I'll never be able to do that. Or, oh my gosh, that's just always going to be too much for me. Like, don't ever say never. Your body actually does not have an age limit to gaining muscle and to getting more physically fit. So I invite you to push yourself and make sure you're recovering optimally when it comes to balancing out your hunger and fullness cues and making sure that you are recovering well and eating enough post-exercise. So, finding balance. Are you somebody who exercises a lot, a lot, a lot, and then you notice that you can't stop eating? Are you somebody who really barely moves their body at all? And do you need to take responsibility for this and take an objective look at this? Notice that this has nothing at all to do with your self-worth or your capacity to feel happy and excited about your life. Maybe finding a dance class, a yoga class, some YouTube video, whatever it is, it could be gardening. It does not at all have to look like a high intensity training workout to optimize your hunger and fullness cues and to help get that back on track. But it does take getting really, really clear on, oh my gosh, okay, this is where I'm at. Let's not judge myself around this and let's make some changes. Number two reason why you maybe cannot stop eating, leptin resistance. So leptin is a hormone that's known as the satiety hormone that's produced by our fat cells. And it's supposed to work in a way that the more fat cells we have in our body, the more leptin we have so that we therefore will be less hungry, right? The more fat cells we have, the more leptin we have, and then we don't need as much food. But in a lot of people, specifically people with high body fat who are considered obese, this mechanism may be broken. This leptin resistance happens where our brains are not responding to the leptin anymore. So leptin resistance can cause hunger and reduce the number of calories that you burn. So instead of feeling that satiety that we're supposed to feel from the hormone leptin, we actually might still feel hunger. Leptin is a hormone produced by our body's fat cells that tells the brain when enough fat is stored, preventing overeating and aiding in healthy calorie burning. Leptin resistance can cause the brain to miss this signal, which may contribute to obesity. Okay, so given the way leptin is supposed to work, many people with obesity should naturally limit their food intake. However, when the leptin signaling is not working, while a lot of leptin may be present, the brain just isn't seeing it. So eating more and exercising less is not the underlying cause of weight gain, but rather a possible consequence of leptin resistance, a hormonal defect. So it's so important that we're noticing, okay, wow, there's actually nothing necessarily wrong with my willpower. People think that there's, they're not trying hard enough, they're not being strict enough, whatever it is. But actually, there could be a hormonal imbalance going on, and it's important to take action steps to optimize our leptin signaling and making sure that's working. So if you do have a lot of body fat, especially in the belly area, then you're almost certainly leptin resistant. And this is crazy, right? What's absolutely bonkers about this, working as a health professional in the nutrition space for so many years, looking at people's body composition, people who look slender could actually have a high body fat percentage. And this is because of their genetics and their ways, the way that their specific body stores fat. So you might look slender, but your body does a really good job of condensing fat in between organs and around organs through the trunk area. And you might have slender legs and arms and that kind of thing. So it's not necessarily just from looking in the mirror. So I think it'd be a great idea, instead of just looking at the number on the scale, which who knows, is that water weight? Is that fat weight? Is that muscle weight? What is that? Get a proper body composition scan done. There's a bunch of different ways to do this. The DEXA scan is the gold standard, and that does also measure bone mineral density, which is fantastic. Also, in-body scanners, you can get one for like $10. You can get an in-body scan done at a Wellness Smart MD. There's Body Spec. You can look up those locations around, and you can also order your own body composition scale that you can order online and just have that at home. This is going to be important to track. I think it is actually beneficial to notice where your body fat percentage is. If you are noticing that you can't stop eating and you're just like, what the heck, what's going on? Or maybe you have high cholesterol, maybe you have diabetes and you seem slender, but maybe actually your body fat is higher than what is healthy for you. So for women, body fat percentages, a fit woman, it's going to be between 21 to 24% body fat. A normal acceptable body fat percentage is 25 to 31% for women. And then obesity would be considered over 32% of their weight is fat. And for men, a fit man, 14 to 17%, acceptable/normal would be 18 to 24%, and obese would be over 25% for men. And then male athletes, it looks about 6 to 13% body fat, and female athletes, it's 14 to 20% body fat. So men have less fat than women. Women do need more fat on their bodies. They have a lot of different hormone systems going on than men do. Men have more muscle mass, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, Leptin resistance could be a reason why you're noticing that it's difficult to stop eating. And this may be in direct relation to the amount of body fat that's on your body. I've spent a lot of my adult life overcoming disordered eating and overcoming my relationship, my negative relationship with body fat and fat in general. So it's been interesting working on longevity with patients and food freedom and body image, just really, really food freedom, noticing, wait, actually, when it comes to tracking my health, looking at body fat objectively, not at all as something that makes me beautiful or not beautiful, worthy or not worthy, but rather it's like measuring my blood glucose. It's like measuring my triglycerides. I'm measuring my body fat. It's just another thing to look at to see how my body is doing metabolically and hormonally. And too much body fat also are because our body fat does produce its own hormones. My patients with cancer, specifically breast cancer, prostate, testicular cancer, any sort of hormone-related cancers, when we have too much body fat, this could be exacerbating issues when it comes to cancer and hormone-related cancers as well. So there are actually reasons why it's important to keep our body fat percentage within an acceptable range, and a range where you're feeling fit, where you're considered fit, to balance out your capacity to stop eating when you're actually satisfied and start eating when you're actually hungry, okay? And some ways to reverse this leptin resistance that could be going on and to help to normalize your body fat percentage to a healthy range, highly recommend avoiding processed foods. Highly processed foods may compromise the integrity of your gut and drive inflammation. And this inflammation can really lead to leptin resistance. It may not necessarily be just the fat percentage in our bodies. It could be inflammation fat cells in our bodies, right? So let's avoid super processed foods. So that means things that are fried, burned, baked goods. You know, I think it can be pretty obvious. Any things that have ultra processed oils, refined sugars, added preservatives, flavorings, you get it. Processed foods are probably going to exacerbate this leptin resistance issue, as well as other things when it comes to trying to not overeat. Be sure to eat soluble fiber, like from oats and soaked chia seeds. You like on an oatmeal container, it says this soluble fiber will help to improve your heart health. It's true. Eating soluble fiber can help also to improve your gut health and may protect against obesity, as well as a lot of different diseases, heart diseases. So eating more soluble fiber can probably help regulate not only your leptin resistance, but your capacity to have natural fullness, right? Exercise, as I mentioned earlier, physical activity may help to reverse leptin resistance, which is one big reason why the first thing I mentioned, physical exercise is going to help a lot to regulate your hunger and fullness hormones, okay? Sleep, poor sleep is implicated in problems with leptin, as I'm going to discuss very soon. Lower your triglycerides. So take an algae-derived omega supplement if you don't already. If you must eat animal products, aim for 4 ounces of low-mercury wild-caught fish like sardines, mackerel, anchovy, salmon, or herring. Just 2 to 3 times a week of just 4 ounces of one of these sources of fish can really, really help to lower your triglycerides and improve your heart health. If you don't want to eat fish, having soaked chia seeds, ground flax seeds, hemp seeds, or walnuts, about 3 to 4 tablespoons every day, as well as an algae-derived omega supplement, lowering your triglycerides can really lower inflammation and help with hormone balance and help you feel amazing, okay? Lowering your triglycerides and getting enough omegas is essential. And I highly recommend that you eat a source of plant-based protein with each meal. So eating a source of plant-based protein like beans, I've been into, what is it, the Kite Hill Greek style yogurt. It's like almond yogurt, but it has like pea protein. So it's super filling and amazing. I go through phases with breakfast, but yeah, we actually do want to have some protein, some veggies with each meal so that you don't notice yourself feeling hungry right after you eat, okay? All right, number 3 reason why you can't stop eating. It's possible, ladies or vulva owners, people who have a cycle, it's possible that it is that time of the month. your luteal phase. This occurs after the follicle releases its egg and changes into the corpus luteum, which releases hormones that keep the uterine lining thick and ready for a fertilized egg to implant. So the luteal phase, this is happening before we get our periods, after we ovulate. And a 2016 study published in the Annals of Endocrinology looked at the eating habits, weight fluctuations, and hormone levels of 30 participants ages 18 to 45. The study researchers found that women really did eat significantly more before their periods. Their daily calorie intake rose from 1,688 calories during the follicular phase to 2,164 calories during the luteal phase, with carbs accounting for most of their extra calories. Isn't this fascinating? So research has actually shown that upwards of 200 to 300 calorie increase on average, you're going to increase your calories between when you get your period and before you ovulate, before you get your period. And there's a lot of reasons for this. I have a Daisy Basal body temperature thermometer. And what this does is you take your temperature every morning, see it's red. So that means I'm fertile right now. I got my period about a week ago. So this is 99.4% accurate at determining fertile versus non-fertile days in your cycle. This thing is incredible. It's helped me learn a lot about my body, what I can expect. And it is noticeable. It's amazing to notice that your temperature does go up after you ovulate. So of course, when our temperature goes up, our thermic effect of food, our metabolic rate is going to be higher. The amount of energy that we're burning is actually higher because our temperature is going up. And if you're athletic, if you work out on top of this slight increase in your temperature, yeah, you're going to need more food. There's also a serotonin dip related to hormonal changes before we get our cycle. The serotonin is that feel-good neurotransmitter that helps us feel positive and like we're chilling. Serotonin is that good feeling neurotransmitter. When that dips, of course, we're going to crave chocolate and carbs because chocolate and carbs are going to help to boost that serotonin level. So it's okay to listen to your body. Just know that healthy carbs work too. We don't just need cupcakes and donuts and chips before our cycle. Things like steamed, boiled, baked potatoes are fantastic. Beans, vegetables and fruits are also fantastic carbohydrates that I recommend getting in plenty of before we get our cycle. And then you should notice after your menstrual cycle arrives that hunger and the cravings decreases. My go-to thing is chickpea cookie dough. I love mashing chickpeas and mixing that with peanut butter and dates and bananas. It's so, so, so yummy. That's like my number one PMS bust food. Another 2015 European Journal of Nutrition study, researchers noted that the participants reported a significant increase in appetite and cravings for chocolate, sweets, and salty foods in the late luteal phase versus the other three phases of the menstrual cycle, likely due to the serotonin deficiency caused by hormonal changes before menstruation, just like I just mentioned, right? So yeah, there's other reasons why we might crave chocolate. Dark chocolate, cacao, like cacao powder, ceremonial grade cacao. I love my Coco Leca Collective ceremonial grade cacao from Kauai, Hawaii. Crystal, this company is incredible. You can use my code KatieLove to get a discount on this product. Ceremonial grade cacao, it's minimally processed and it's really, really potent in our minerals and the compounds that make it so medicinal, like theobromine. It's similar to caffeine, where it's quite stimulating to our brain. It definitely boosts that serotonin. And cacao is really high in iron and magnesium, and those both really build our blood. So magnesium is a muscle relaxer too. Like magnesium is really, really important. If you notice you have muscle cramps in your legs, you need magnesium. Because of this, of course, we're going to crave chocolate to help relax our muscles down there in our reproductive organs and around there, right? And building the blood is just the absolute perfect food to support our menstrual cycle, that dark chocolate cacao. Obviously, just because I'm saying this, we're not going to have 5 bars of chocolate for lunch, right? Still eat reasonable amounts. Like you only need 1 to 2 tablespoons of this Coca Leca ceremonial grade cacao to get a medicinal dose. And that is absolutely perfect. It's so amazing and delicious. I highly, highly recommend. Okay. Number 4, reason why you're noticing, oh, what the heck? I can't stop eating. Katie, what do I do? What's happening? Lack of sleep. Did you know that less than 7 hours of sleep each night, you're 55% more likely to become obese? Sleep modulates a major component of the neuroendocrine control of appetite. So what is neuroendocrine control? That endocrine, that basically means hormones, your brain hormone system that's able to control appetite, and sleep modulates that a lot. Probably, maybe you're familiar with the day after you get a poor night's sleep, you just want to eat all the things all day long. You're like, oh, give me the muffin. Oh, give me the croissant. Oh, give me the sugary coffee drink. Because your body is actually starving for energy, right? So you're going to be craving all of these foods, and it's going to be hard to stop eating when we're not getting enough sleep, especially consistently, especially if you've been telling your body to STFU and just you've been pushing, not letting yourself recover properly, whether it be from workouts, whether it be from a busy week of work, whether it be from trauma, whatever happened, if it's sleep or other energetic things going on, if you're lacking recovery from that, your neuroendocrine control of appetite is going to be not good, not optimized. Okay. Leptin and cortisol, the stress hormone. So leptin is the hormone I mentioned before, the satiety hormone. Cortisol, that is our stress hormone. Thyroid stimulating hormone, TSH. The thyroid is the master regulator of our metabolism. And if our thyroid is off, metabolism, everything's going to be off. Glucose hormones, so that's like insulin. These all are going to fluctuate a lot under different bedtime conditions. And there's been a lot of research on this. Getting less than 7 hours of sleep every night, you're throwing things off. Everything's going to be thrown off. So in those times, it's going to be extra, extra important to schedule in a nap. Make for dang sure that you're going to go to bed early the next night that you possibly can. Do what you need to do. If it's been a long time coming that you've got a good night's sleep, I used to very, very be against things like melatonin and these types of things. Hey, it's a lot better to get a good night's sleep than to be a stickler about avoiding supplements, okay? Sometimes melatonin is an absolute godsend, especially if you are jet lagged or anything like that. Do what you need to do. Ashwagandha, I'm a huge fan of ashwagandha. Research has shown that it can decrease the time it takes to fall asleep if you supplement with ashwagandha. I have a tincture, I have supplement pills. They both have worked fantastically for me. I love ashwagandha. Kava, another Hawaiian sacred ceremonial plant, kava. I interviewed the founder of the main kava company that supplies a lot of different kava bars. And he said that kava is like chamomile on steroids. It is so relaxing. It was the only thing that helped him get through with anxiety during school. So I love kava. I love ashwagandha, even chamomile. Like there's so many medicinal botanicals in our incredible plant kingdom that is natural and that's very, very effective. Some people swear by CBD. CBD doesn't exactly work for me, but hey, I've heard a lot of good things. Do what you need to do. Get a good night's sleep. Okay. Number 5, what foods are you choosing? Did you know that there are people who are spending and making millions and millions of dollars to make you addicted to a certain food and make it so that it's impossible to stop eating a certain food? Whether that be Lay's chips, I bet you can't eat just one, right? Any drive-through, and honestly, anytime you go out to eat, the people designing these foods, of course, they're going to put extra oil, fat, salt, all of the unhealthy things to make it so that it's really difficult for you to not want to come back for more. This is a moneymaker for people. This is people's livelihood, is you're wanting more of their product. So of course they're going to design it so that you say to yourself, oh, what the heck? Why can't I stop eating? It's nothing wrong with you. It's because there's been a lot of engineering behind the formulation of this product to make it so you want to buy more of it. Let's see. Are the foods that you're eating designed to make you crave more? Take a look of what you've been eating throughout the day. Take a look at the specific foods. You know, when it comes to apples, do you find yourself being like, oh, why can't I stop eating these apples? Or, you know, it's probably not apples, is what I'm trying to say. Are the things that you're eating, are they over 300 milligrams of sodium per serving? I highly recommend you only purchase products, sauces, and dips that are less than 300 milligrams of sodium per serving, not only because of heart health. We want to avoid high blood pressure and heart disease being the leading cause of death and stroke. This can be very sudden death for people, these issues with high blood pressure and heart disease. So be sure to choose foods and products that are less than 300 milligrams of sodium per serving. If they're over 300 milligrams of sodium per serving, it's probably difficult to stop eating them. You're probably going to want more. And are these things fried or are they baked? Are they high in calories and low in nutrients? Anything that's higher in calories and lower in nutrients, that's going to have a lot of added sugar, a lot of added fat, a lot of added flavors that you're not doing your body any favor when you're depriving it of nutrients, because then you're going to crave more. You're going to feel like you need to eat more. Meanwhile, you're getting the calories, but you're not getting the nutrients. Of course, your body's like, hello, I need some zinc over here. Can you please eat some more so I can get my selenium and zinc and vitamin E and actually function? What swaps can you make to prevent overeating? It's hard to overeat on strawberries, baked potatoes, or chickpeas. Like, what are the foods that are wholesome that you like that you could swap out for these snacks? And even if it is a quote unquote healthier snack, I know there's a lot of great products out there. These like Forager green superfood chips and the kale chips and the, there was like these bean snack products now. Hey, those still have added oil and added salt and are processed snacks that are designed to make you want more of them. So get really objective and take responsibility for this. Choose foods and surround yourself with foods that, that aren't going to make your hunger hormones go crazy. Okay. And I saved the most important one for last. So I hope you're hanging in there. Number six, making certain foods, quote unquote, bad or off limits. Yeah, if there's that one snack, if there's that one food, oh my gosh, I can't eat that. I know I'll overeat it. It's so bad. It's so bad. The higher, it's called cognitive dietary restraint. And do you think that the person who goes into the party saying, okay, I'm not going to have any chips. I'm not going to have any chips. Chips are so bad. Chips are terrible for me. Is that person going to live their healthiest, most balanced and happiest life compared to the person who's like, oh, sweet chips, and they have a few and they just move on with their life and they're super present throughout the party? High cognitive dietary restraint has been associated with increased frequency of binge eating and overall weight fluctuations and struggles with weight and mood and just being optimal and healthy in their lives. So in order to combat this, noticing that you're making certain foods bad or off limits, instead of going into eating something like, oh, I shouldn't be eating this, oh, this is bad, I invite you to actually enjoy those foods so, so, so much more and witness yourself and your beliefs around the food. What is bad about it? And can we shift our perspective? You are the one responsible for your life. You are the one who gets to decide whether something is going to be a positive experience or a negative experience. Nobody else is going to decide that for you. So next time you go to eat some chips, oh my gosh, fantastic. Wow, chips are such a delicious part of my holistically healthy life. I love how chips are so light and crispy and they just help me feel, oh, like I can just connect with my friends and enjoy this. A lot of people, it's very nostalgic to eat certain chips or whatever. And your homework is to enjoy that food as much as possible in that moment. Like really, really savor it. Slow down. Notice, oh my gosh, yum. I get to eat these fantastic chips. With the belief that it is healthy. It is healthy to not at all be restricting ourselves. It is healthy maybe for you in that moment to enjoy the chips, and you're choosing not for any reason. You're just choosing because you choose, because you're an empowered person and you get to choose in every moment what feels best for you. And sure, if you're like, actually, I don't want the chips, I'm going to excitedly, empoweredly, with empowerment, I'm going to decide to not eat these chips because I know that they make my stomach hurt and I just choose not to, or whatever it is. Maybe like me personally, I cannot eat chips, not because I don't want to. Like, once in a while, I'll have some chips, whatever. If I want to eat them, I'll eat them. But most of the time, I don't even want them because I'm so aware of the advanced glycation end products, and they're fried and they're just not at all in alignment with the energetic frequency that I want to be feeling. Like, these foods just don't even look like food to me. They look more like plastic. I'm like, what even is that? And to me, it doesn't taste good. They're just like too salty and like, ugh. So for me, eating these processed foods, it's like very easy to say no to from an empowered place. But whenever I do want to eat some chips, oh yeah, I go for it and I enjoy it. And do I binge on them? No, but I'm like, yum. I love chips sometimes. Sure. I eat whatever I want, whenever I want. And that feels really, really good. It's a part of my holistically healthy life. If I'm going to eat healthily, sustainably, of course, if I want to have chips, I'll eat them. But most of the time, I just don't want to eat them, and that's fine, right? Okay, I hope that helps. So let's make sure that we're noticing if we have really high cognitive dietary restraint, if we're restricting ourselves, then we are actually setting ourselves up to binge. It's much better to notice, hey, how can I feel empowered around this? How can I shift my belief system around what's going on so that I can feel empowered, so that I can make an empowered choice and be excited rather than feeling deprived and like, yeah. Okay, that was a lot. And another thing about this is the actions can look exactly the same, right? I'm saying no to chips because I'm so clear on they're just not what I want, versus I'm saying no to chips because I've been told that they were bad and I am so nervous about weight gain. And it's like the action step looks the same, me saying no to chips. However, the perspective and my mindset around it is drastically different. I'm going into saying no to chips from an empowered place, from a place of joy and abundance and excitement, or I'm saying no to chips from a place of deprivation, depression, anxiety, self-hate, being a really tough manager of my own life and my own mind, like being really, really strict. I don't want to live a life like that. I want to live a life of empowerment. And I hope you do too. And I hope you see that distinction and are able to take the action steps. And if you're having trouble with this, I have an amazing online course that it's a 10 video modules. It's incredible. I put in a lot of my food freedom and body image coaching in these modules. It's all about plant-based nutrition, balancing meals, making sure you're getting the supplements you need. It is everything you need in my Feed Your Power program, but instead of paying for one-on-one consultations, do it in your own time at your own pace with these videos. And there's journaling homeworks and things like that. It's absolutely amazing. Click the link in the description for access to this. I really hope people reap the benefits of this course. I worked really hard on it and I know that everyone's going to get a lot out of it. So I'm glad I didn't forget to mention it. Please go get your video course right now. And then last but not least, the number one reason why my patients find themselves not being able to stop eating, it's a primary food deficiency. In the afternoon, after you've stayed so productive and quote unquote good and energized throughout the day, but you still have things on the to-do list to get done, but your emotional and energetic bodies are simply spent. Does food help to mull over the pressure? So, this is so common for my patients and my clients. In the afternoon is like around 3 to 4:30 p.m. This is when they binge. This is when they overeat the most. And that's because their morning, obviously you're not looking at yourself in the mirror and you're saying, okay, I'm going to screw up again today. Like, I'm so excited to screw up again today. No, in the morning, we have the most willpower. We have the most motivation and we're able to boom, 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 get things checked off to do list, eat the healthy things, whatever. And then by the time the afternoon hits, your energetic and emotional body is so starved of relaxation, of fun, of rejuvenation, that, and you're like, oh no, I still got things I need to do, but I'm so deprived energetically, that of course you're going to reach for the chips and the cupcakes and whatever it is to help you feel better and mull over your energetic drain using food. Food is a very, very easy thing to quickly change your body chemistry to make you feel better. So instead of using food, though, can we do something throughout the day to help nurture and nourish our energetic and emotional bodies without eating? Primary food, this primary food deficiency, primary food is not food at all. It is what feeds our emotional and energetic bodies. So instead of actually eating, throughout the day, check in with yourself. What do you need to feel present, intentional, happy, and at peace? Do you need a nap? Are you able to let that be okay? Can you take a 10-minute nap and be like, fantastic, I'm actually prioritizing my energy and my emotional and energetic body? This is very, very productive. Do you need a nap? Do you need time in nature? Do you need to go outside, take your shoes off, take a deep breath? Do you need a call with a friend? Personally, I often need a dance break, right? If I'm on calls all the time, I'm you know what I mean? This energetic drain, it can be a lot. Meeting with people all day long, being on your computer all day long, it's a lot of an energetic suck sometimes. So having a dance break, spending some time in nature, going for a walk, super, super important. Give your emotional and energetic bodies these nourishing and relaxing action steps before burning through that to-do list and then binging after or during, trying to get the rest of your to-do list done. You do not need to get all of that done, okay? Let it be okay to be a little bit quote-unquote lazy. Maybe in the past you thought it was lazy or unproductive or selfish of you to go for a walk. There is nothing that could possibly be more productive than you taking care of your energetic body. I hope you recognize that the less that you take care of your emotional and energetic bodies, the more you're going to binge, and the less focused, the less productive, and the less healthy you're actually going to be in the long run. There is no way that you can push through for the rest of your life. If you really keep thinking that it's unproductive to rest, no, that's just not healthy. And all of my cancer patients, I always will ask them if they intuitively have any clue what may have caused this. It's really important for me to ask this because we want to get to the root cause. I'm sorry, I'm not somebody who's just going to cookie cutter throw you a meal plan and be like, okay, fantastic. No, let's actually get to the root cause of what is happening here so that this does not happen again, so that we prevent recurrence. Prevention is the cure. And every single patient I've ever met with, whether it be cancer patient, autoimmune disease patient, they say, you know what? Yeah, I know I did this to myself. I know I was asking for this. Whether it be because, sure, sometimes it's a death in the family. Sometimes it's a divorce, a breakup, like some traumatic life changes. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, we are clear that something was going on energetically, emotionally, that really, really exacerbated this happening. But often they say, I worked too much, 50 hours, 60 hour work weeks. I never put myself as a priority. And I saw this coming. I should have known that I had this coming. Because I just, yeah. And this is so common. This happens with all of my patients, where my coaching, it's less to do with eating more vegetables and more to do with prioritizing their energetic and emotional needs. Allow yourself to be willing to feel and allow yourself to be willing to rest, to be willing to sit in that discomfort of, oh my gosh, am I being lazy? Oh my gosh, am I whatever BS story you have around you prioritizing your rest. Please know that right now you resting and you actually doing something besides eating to take care of yourself in those moments, that's going to be absolutely essential. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. That felt good to get off my chest. I hope everybody got a lot from this. Again, my online course is on my website. This is incredible video modules, PowerPoint style, to really, really educate and help implement lots of different food freedom and longevity, reducing your biological age while actually improving your relationship with yourself and with food. The link to that course is on my website. I link it below. And yeah, let me know what you got out of this. I really hope that this helped. Know that there is nothing wrong with you. Your body is absolutely perfect. You just maybe aren't feeling your best because of some simple little tweaks that could easily be made. And I didn't even mention, yeah, it's important to drink lots of water. First thing in the morning, drink 1 or 2 cups of water and drink water between meals. That's probably going to help a lot as we confuse thirst with hunger. So yeah. Thank you all for being here, sending so much love, and have an incredible day. Bye.